Jogger, what's happening?
I don't know, buddy. I mean, I don't know about the black lung. I get the bad back from a day's labor, for sure.
Yeah, just different excuse. I just thought it just reminded. I always chuckle about it. Are you did you not like Zoolander?
Oh yeah, of course I like Zoolander. Who didn't like Zoolander? Oh. Fantastic movie.
Yeah, great.
I hope they don't kill it with the sequel though. You know, like it's just so seldom sequels of classics or measure up. You know, like Anchorman was disappointing. You know, they never seem to do it justice. No. The Hangover was no good. Like, they try and regurgitate all the old jokes again, and they're just no good anymore. So no. I hope they don't kill it, because it was a beauty.
You have to come up with really new jokes with the same characters, really. You're right.
Yeah.
You can maybe have one thing that's a little bit repetitive, but
The Hangover had so many things they tried to redo. It was like, what? It's just a different city. It was just silly.
Lots.
And I've met Bradley Cooper. That's not easy for me to say.
Really? Oh, did you rub up against him like you did JT or what?
No, actually, it was at the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C. I met him in an elevator. Just kind of ran into him. I was like, you're Bradley Cooper. He was in a tux.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, man. And I was like, my name's Ryan. I'm a sportscaster from Canada. And he shook my hand. He's like, oh, that's awesome. I love Canada. And so we chatted on the elevator ride, and he was actually on his way to the, I believe it was like the GQ something something awards and party. So like he was going to hang out with supermodels and I was going to hang out with Parker. So I think he had a better night than I did is what I'm saying.
Supermodel, super cameraman. That's close. It's close. Did now how tall is he in real life?
Yeah, he was probably about my height. Maybe he had an inch on me. I'm not sure, but he's not a short guy. He's a big dude.
So he's one of the few actors who's actually tall.
Yeah, he's not pint-sized like Tom Cruise and such.
Okay. Lots of things to discuss in the NHL. First off, if you were the orders, would you have any interest if Nazem Kadri was available?
I would say they need to wait and see where they're picking in the draft lottery, because they probably don't want to add another center that's going to be $3+ million if they don't have to. Now, if they're not going to get a center at the draft that's ready right away, then yeah, I would say, for sure. Depending on what the price point is, and like, there's two things that need to be figured out. One, what does a trade look like? Who are you giving up for him? And two, what's Kadri's number going to be next year? Because he's a restricted free agent. He was around $3.1 million this year. So those are two pretty big variables that need to get sorted out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because obviously it's not something that would happen now. And the only way they're getting a center that helps them next year, guaranteed, is if they get the number one pick. Because there's no guarantee Jack Eichel is coming out of college.
I mean, my guess would be that he does. My guess would be that he makes the jump right away.
Okay.
He's a pretty big kid. He doesn't have any issues whatsoever with the speed of the game. He's a fast skater. He's big. I don't know what would keep him out of the NHL next season based on what I've seen of him. Now, I haven't seen as much as a lot of people, but in the little bit I've seen of him, he looks like he'll be one of those guys who would be, he'd be a number one pick probably in any of the last however many years, and probably will be ready, would be my guess.
What do you make of that whole situation, and are the Leafs making the right decision by going public with it?
I think there's probably some organizational posturing going on right now too. I think they probably have intentions on trading Kadri, would be my guess. Is they're looking at moving him along with a number of their other players, but that Kadri they're looking at moving. And so if the narrative is it's come to the end of it in Toronto, and that the organization and he are at odds, and that, you know, he needed some whipping to keep him in line, maybe another organization looks at that and thinks, you know what, we're not worried about all that stuff. He'll have learned his lesson. He'll be better for us. And if that's what it is, as opposed to they don't want Kadri anymore because he's just not that good a player and he's not going to be worth the money that they're going to have to pay him, I could see it being a little bit of posturing from the organization and being so public about it, not keeping it in-house, To me, it paves the way for the two sides parting ways and for other organizations looking at that going, yeah, they're just not getting along. That's why Kadri's available.
A lot of people think it's, well, this is their silent way of tanking. I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a good player for them, but he's not the difference between winning and losing every single night. So,
no.
He's an okay center, right? Last season he played almost a full season. He was a 50-point center. He's a 20-goal guy. So that's a good player. But it's not like they're sitting out Phil Kessel, right? Like, Kadri hasn't reached that level. So I don't think it's tanking. I think there's probably a lot that's gone on that we have no idea about. And so they're probably sick and tired of it. Shanahan's kind of throwing down the gauntlet while at the same time maybe greasing the skids for a parting of the ways. And at the same time, they got a negotiation coming up too, right? And this kind of stuff never hurts in negotiations where it's like, hey, man, your guy hasn't exactly been a model citizen. So it all adds up to them maybe playing a bit of hardball in negotiations or trying to move them. I don't know that Kadri will be a Maple Leaf next year. I don't know that he survives this exodus that is going to happen there.
Huh. See, I think he does. I think teams would be interested. A 24-year-old young center. Yeah.
Yep.
Teams are depth. They don't have much center depth. And so who knows? Maybe they want to completely blow everything up. But and that's why if they are, then if you're the Edmonton Oilers, I would definitely be interested in it. Because unless they get the number one or number two pick, there's no one in the draft that's going to help them next year. And even if you do, there's nothing wrong with having more depth. Because I don't think you can have that much youth at the most important position down the middle.
Well, I mean, if you play Derek Roy for a full 82 games next year and you play Nazem Kadri for a full 82 games next year, what do you think the difference between them in points is, in goals and points, right? Let's say Kadri does roughly what he did last year and is a 20-goal season and a 50-point year. I mean, can Derek Roy playing 82 games in a second-line center role get you 35 points?
Yeah, but are you getting the Nazem Kadri at 44 points in 48 games a year before, right? So, right, like Nazem Kadri's only played 240 games, which is really only three full NHL seasons. I think Kadri's a better skater. Yeah, I think Kadri's got more upside than Derek Roy moving forward. I would take him.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the difference in their price point, right? Kadri might cost you a 2 or 3 year deal at well over $3 million, whereas Derek Roy you probably get for $1.5 million. And you can do a 1 or 2 year deal with him at the most. So, is it the difference in what they're going to get you points wise? Going to make sense for the difference in what they're going to cost you. And I think Kadri's a good player and I'd be interested if I were the Oilers, but they just need to be careful that they're not going too long term with a guy who, you know, might be redundant in the organization before too long.
Yeah, you get a guy in a decent contract, he's a good player, teams are always interested. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, they worrying about guys who might pan out over guys who have proven they're NHL players, that's always a risky proposition as well. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogar, a few other ones. We saw more of Carey Price last night, the Montreal Canadiens. Like, he was unbelievable in that game. They ended up losing anyway. But as much as the focus was on Carey Price in Montreal, how good are the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yeah, no, Tampa Bay is a really good team, and they're playing really well right now. The thing about Tampa is that they've just got so much team speed. They're one of the fastest teams out there. And, you know, they've got a couple of sophomores who aren't suffering from the sophomore jinx in any way, shape, or form. Johnson's having an unbelievable season. Like, they're so fast right throughout their lineup. And it's impressive. You watch them play and they just come at you. And I know, I think it might have been Friedman who wrote in his 30 on 30 there that, you know, another general manager from around the league said they're the fastest team they've seen all season long. So that's one of the things that's most impressive to me about Tampa. And then the other thing, too, about them, like, I mean, their blue line, you know, it's not like a super heralded blue line or anything like that. Stralman has worked out really well. That signing has worked out really well. Victor Hedman, finally healthy, the guy's unbelievable. Like, he is an exceptional young defenseman. So they're pretty good on the back end, too. But yeah, they're one of the best teams in the league for a reason, and I wouldn't want to come up against that offense heading into the playoffs.
They have a lot of depth, and that Jonathan Drouin kid's just starting to get his feet wet as well.
Holy smokes, I know, man. He's 26 points in his 57 games, but he's just dipping his toes in at this point, right? He's still so young. that he's only going to get better and better. And I mean, I know they've moved on with Brett Connolly, and that just tells you that they, you know, Connolly was, I know he hadn't put up a lot of points, but people also realize he didn't have a ton of opportunity with Tampa. He was a pretty, probably a fairly sought after commodity, and a couple second round picks ends up squeezing him out of there. But that just shows you how much depth that they have. I mean, Palat again comes back this year. Tyler Johnson's having an unbelievable year, and then Stamkos is just Stamkos.
Kucherov
as well. Yeah, the thing, like, they have felt like a team that's ripe for the picking when they hit the playoffs the last few times. I don't get that sense with them this time. They don't feel like they're ripe for the picking. They feel pretty solid right throughout this time around.
Yeah, and you wonder where they would have been last year if Bishop didn't get injured too. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I mean, Bishop versus Price would have been a lot different than you know what they ended up having to go with. So they feel like a team that's ready to take on, you know, there's not a lot of teams out there I look at and go, that's a really bad matchup for Tampa, because they've got a little bit of everything. They've got some size. They've got tons of speed. They've got a good goaltender. They've got a world-class defenseman. I like their team.
Andre Pavlik had stopped, you know, he stopped 19 out of 20, but the goal he allowed last night from outside the blue line, it was like he wasn't even paying attention, because the puck wasn't deflected anywhere. I watched that replay from I don't know how many different angles, but I can't think of a more devastating goal recently for a team that is right in the thick of the playoff hunt than the Winnipeg Jets, because, you know, even if they get to overtime, at least they're guaranteed a point. That had to be a tough one after being down 4-1.
Did you see the way they got back into that game? I mean, they were down a goal with like 7 or 8 minutes left, and then they took a penalty. And it was, you're like, holy smokes, right? Well, somehow they managed to get a shorthanded goal. Just a couple of really nice, solid plays and a great shot. They get a shorthanded goal to tie it and then have their guts ripped out with a goal like that on Pavlich. That was just, it was no good. And, you know, he has been criticized so much in that city over the last few years, and so much question about whether he can be the guy or not. And if they miss the playoffs somehow this year, people are going to look at that, and the questions will continue to come rolling in. And I know they've got Hutchinson, who has been good, but that's just a devastating goal for Pavlich to let in.
The Edmonton Oilers, Taylor Hallschlager, back skating. I've been told, well, from a pretty good source. And he, 6 weeks, I went back and looked. Like, last time I spoke to Hall was in February. About, I don't know, 10 days after the injury. And he was pretty determined then that he wanted to play before the season ended. And hopefully then get an invite to Canada for the World Championships. There's some people saying, you know, it is a broken bone, and even if he's ready, maybe it's not healed. If the doctors give him the green light next week, do you play him on Saturday?
Yeah, I think as soon as the doctors tell you he's not at serious risk of hurting it again, or that he's good to go, I think you need to get him into games. I think he needs to get into games and play a good chunk of games here before the World Championships, because there's a good chance he'll get an invite to the World Championships, and he's got to go this year if he's healthy. Taylor Hall needs to play in some games, and hopefully Canada will be competitive so that it means something, and he needs to get his beak wet with some meaningful games. So if I were the Oilers, as soon as the doctors say it's safe, I'd be rolling them out. And I wouldn't be shutting them down for the year or anything like that. I'd be rolling them out for sure.
And lastly, Vershog, your favorite quote from Zoolander.
Oh, man. You see, I'm terrible with this. I just remember it was an awesome movie, but I'm terrible. I'm not the guy at the party who can always spit out all the quotes.
My favorite one?
I mean, not being able to turn left that was one of the funniest things ever in a movie.
Yeah.
That stands out to me.
Oh, I had so many. You know, first time I caught my reflection in a spoon, that was classic. But the best one was at the end when he's like, what is this? A center for the ants? How can we be expected to teach children to learn and how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Yeah.
That one was like, because he said it, and he was such a less than intelligent guy in that movie. Like, he said it so real. Oh,
yeah.
Awesome. Oh.
He's an absolute beauty, man. And like, from Dodgeball to that, to Meet the Parents, like, he is spectacular. Well, we always chirp Duffy, and we always tell Duffy that he reminds us of Ben Stiller. He's got kind of those same quirky, dorky qualities. We're always chirping Duffy about that.
Stiller's the best. Do you know what my favorite Zoolander quote that reminds me of you, Shogger?
Okay.
Is that when he says, I'm pretty sure there's a lot more to life than being really, really good looking. I just plan on finding out what that is. buddy, you have yourself a very good day.
Okay, buddy, have a very good day too.